This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of thumb collateral ligament injury from the hand section on orthobullets.com. Thumb collateral ligament injuries include the radial collateral ligament, which is rare, and the ulnar collateral ligament, which is the most common. Eponyms for ulnar collateral ligament injury are gamekeeper's thumb for chronic injury, skier's thumb for acute injury, and a Stenner lesion, which is an avulsed ligament with or without bony attachment that is displaced above the adductor aponeurosis. So again, a Stenner lesion is an avulsed ligament with or without the bony attachment that is displaced above the adductor aponeurosis. Keep in mind that a Stenner lesion will not heal without surgical repair. As far as the epidemiology of thumb collateral ligament injuries, the ulnar collateral ligament is more commonly injured than the radial collateral ligament. As far as the mechanism for these injuries, they typically involve hyperabduction or extension at the MCP joint. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. The UCL is composed of the proper collateral ligament and the accessory collateral ligament and volar plate. The proper collateral ligament resists valgus load with the thumb in flexion. The accessory collateral ligament and volar plate resist valgus load with the thumb in extension. Valgus laxity in both flexion and extension is indicative of a complete UCL rupture. As far as presentation, patients with these injuries typically have a history of a hyperabduction injury. As far as symptoms, patients will have pain at the ulnar aspect of the thumb MCP joint. On physical exam, with inspection and palpation, you may find a mass from the torn ligament and possible bony avulsion may be present. Make sure to stress the joint with radial deviation both at neutral and 30 degrees of flexion. Instability in 30 degrees of flexion indicates injury to the proper UCL. Instability in neutral indicates injury to the accessory and proper UCL and or volar plate. Finally, keep in mind to compare this exam to the uninjured thumb MCP joint. So again, stress the joint with radial deviation both at neutral and 30 degrees of flexion. Instability in 30 degrees of flexion indicates injury to the proper UCL. Instability in neutral indicates injury to the accessory and proper UCL and or volar plate. And finally, compare these results to the uninjured thumb MCP joint. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include a PA, lateral, and oblique. Optional views include a joint folio, which may add in diagnosis if a bony avulsion has already been ruled out. As far as findings, you may see an ulnar collateral ligament injury or a radial collateral ligament injury. In an ulnar collateral ligament injury, this may involve avulsion or condylar fracture, supination of the proximal phalanx, and or volar subluxation of the proximal phalanx. This is typically seen on lateral view and indicates associated dorsal capsular tear or extensor tendon injury. A radial collateral ligament injury involves pronation of the proximal phalanx. And finally, MRI can aid in diagnosis if the exam is equivocal. Moving on to treatment of thumb collateral ligament injury, there are both non-operative and operative options. Non-operative options include immobilization for 4 to 6 weeks. This is indicated for partial tears with less than 20 degrees side-to-side variation of varus valgus instability. Again, the indications for non-operative management, which involves immobilization for 4 to 6 weeks, is for partial tears with less than 20 degrees side-to-side variation of varus valgus instability. Operative options include ligament repair and reconstruction of the ligament with a tendon graft, MCP fusion, or adductor advancement. Indications for a ligament repair include acute injuries with greater than 20 degrees side-to-side variation of varus valgus instability and or greater than 35 degrees of opening. A Stenner lesion, again, is an avulsed ligament with or without the bony attachment being displaced above the adductor aponeurosis. Keep in mind once again that this will not heal without surgical repair. As far as the technique for ligament repair, you can use suture, suture anchors, or a small screw to repair the ligament. As far as reconstruction of the ligament with tendon graft, MCP fusion, or adductor advancement, indications include chronic injury. Finally, with respect to radial collateral ligament injury, these injuries are rare, and treatment is typically non-operative, involving immobilization. This is indicated in most cases, and keep in mind that a Stenner lesion typically does not occur with a radial collateral ligament injury. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 27-year-old male injures his thumb during a fall onto an outstretched hand. He has pain at the MCP joint and difficulty grasping objects between the thumb and index finger. He undergoes surgery with a planned incision over the ulnar aspect of the thumb MCP joint. What muscle and corresponding nerve innervates the structure that blocks the reduction of the ulnar collateral ligament injury? And the choices are 1. Opponens pollicis and median nerve, 2. Flexor pollicis brevis and ulnar nerve, 3. Adductor pollicis and ulnar nerve, 4. Abductor pollicis brevis and median nerve, and 5. Adductor pollicis and median nerve. The correct answer to this question is 3, adductor pollicis and ulnar nerve. So the patient has an ulnar collateral ligament injury. The structure that blocks reduction of the ligament is the adductor pollicis aponeurosis, which is innervated by the ulnar nerve. Thumb ulnar collateral ligament injuries occur after a radially directed force on an extended thumb, stressing the ulnar collateral ligament, dorsal capsule, and volar plate. The thumb should be radiographed before stress exam if the history warrants so as to not to displace a possible bony avulsion. Exam includes valgus stress on the thumb at 0 and 30 degrees of flexion to test the accessory and proper collateral ligaments respectively. With complete rupture of both ligaments, a bump over the ulnar thumb MCP joint may be palpated, signifying a stenar lesion. The ligament usually tears at the distal insertion and displaces proximal and superficial to the adductor aponeurosis. The dorsal capsule and volar plate may also be injured. Bean et al. Evaluated the biomechanics of non-anatomic reconstruction of the ulnar collateral ligaments in cadaveric specimens. They showed that 2 millimeters of volar displacement of the ligament origin will allow for 10 degrees more radial deviation than anatomic placement will. This highlights the need for anatomic reconstruction and that deviation from this will alter joint kinematics. Moving on to the next question. A patient with skier's thumb presents with persistent pain and instability for 3 months. Examination reveals MCP laxity in 30 degrees of flexion, but not in extension. MRI demonstrates a stenar lesion. Which of the following is most likely true regarding this patient's condition? And the choices are 1. The proper ulnar collateral ligament, or UCL, is torn off the proximal phalanx. 2. The proper UCL is torn off the metacarpal. 3. The proper UCL and accessory UCL are torn off the proximal phalanx. 4. The proper UCL and accessory UCL are torn off the metacarpal. And 5. The accessory UCL is torn off the proximal phalanx. The correct answer to this question is 1. The proper ulnar collateral ligament, or UCL, is torn off the proximal phalanx. So if there is ulnar collateral laxity in flexion only, it implies isolated injury to the proper UCL and the accessory UCL is intact. With the stenar lesion, the UCL is avulsed from its distal proximal phalanx, or P1 attachment, and trapped over the adductor aponeurosis. To quickly review, skier's thumb is the most common upper extremity injury during skiing, with a 7-32% prevalence, and arises from a hyperabduction load. Static stabilizers include proper UCL, accessory UCL, the shape of the joint, dorsal capsule, and volar plate. The adductor pollicis is the dynamic stabilizer. Most ruptures involve the distal end. A stenar lesion occurs in 65-85% of all ruptures and are treated surgically. In flexion, the proper UCL and dorsal capsule are taut. In extension, the accessory UCL and volar plate are taut. Laxity in flexion implies isolated proper UCL rupture. Laxity in both flexion and extension implies both accessory UCL and proper UCL are ruptured. Swelling at the MCP suggests a stenar lesion, but is not specific. Bean et al. Explored the effect of changing the proper UCL attachment site on range of motion in cadavers. For the metacarpal origin, they found that radial deviation increased with palmar placement and decreased with proximal placement. For the phalangeal insertion, they found that radial deviation increased with dorsal placement and decreased with distal placement. Range of motion was decreased with both distal and palmar placement. They concluded that non-anatomic reconstruction alters normal MCP range of motion, and the insertion and origin landmarks should serve as guides for UCL repairs. Carlson et al. Explored the attachment sites of the UCL and RCL of the thumb MCP joint. They found that the UCL metacarpal insertion was 4.2 millimeters and 5.3 millimeters from the dorsal articular surfaces, respectively. The phalangeal insertion was 2.8 millimeters and 3.4 millimeters from the volar surface and articular surfaces, respectively. The RCL metacarpal origin was 3.5 millimeters and 3.3 millimeters from the dorsal and articular surfaces, respectively. The phalangeal insertion was 2.8 millimeters and 2.6 millimeters from the volar and articular surfaces, respectively. They concluded that accurate definition of the anatomical attachment sites will aid surgical repair. And moving on to the final question, creation of a Stenner lesion as found in gamekeeper's thumb requires combined tears of the proper and accessory ulnar collateral ligaments in order for the ligament to be displaced by the adductor aponeurosis. Which of the following most accurately describes the role these ulnar collateral ligaments, that is PCL/ACL, play in thumb MCP joint stability? And the choices are 1. PCL is the primary restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint inflection, and the ACL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. 2. The PCL is the primary restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension, and the ACL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. 3. The ACL is the primary restraint to ulnar deviation with the MCP joint in flexion, and the PCL provides restraint to ulnar deviation with the MCP joint in extension. 4. The ACL is the primary restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in flexion, and the PCL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. And 5. The PCL is the primary restraint to ulnar deviation with MCP joint in flexion, and the ACL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. The correct answer to this question is 1. PCL is the primary restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in flexion, and the ACL provides restraint to radial deviation with the MCP joint in extension. So the proper ulnar collateral ligament, or PCL, runs from the metacarpal head to the volar aspect of the proximal phalanx and resists radial stress with the thumb MCP joint in flexion. The accessory ulnar collateral ligament, or ACL, lies palmar to the proper ligament and inserts onto the volar plate. The volar plate and ACL function as the principal restraints to radial stress with the thumb MCP joint in extension. A Stenner lesion is described by displacement of the distal end of the completely ruptured UCL such that it comes to lie superficial and proximal to the adductor aponeurosis. Thirkanad and Wolf report a case of distal pull-off of the ulnar collateral ligament, or UCL, of the thumb MCP joint with two fracture fragments. They identify the need to look for a second fragment of bone in these injuries, where an apparently undisplaced fracture is noted at the base of the proximal phalanx. They suggest that this fragment probably indicates the location of the distal end of the UCL and may identify a Stenner lesion. Newland, in his article on gamekeeper's thumb, states that criteria for judging what constitutes a complete tear vary from a 15-degree to a 45-degree difference with respect to the opposite side. He goes on to state, however, that many authors choose an absolute value of greater than 35 degrees of joint laxity compared to the contralateral side when judging a tear to be complete or incomplete. When a complete tear is identified, surgical repair is recommended. That's all for this review about thumb collateral ligament injury. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.